The more you consider yourself a star in rap, probably the less records you'll sell. Because I think the thing that everybody likes about rap is the realism. And the, it's kind of a, I don't know, it's like a folk music for inner city kids. It's so down to earth, you know. And the more down you are, for some reason, the more records you sell. I mean, and I think you have to be that way in rap because of the lack of airplay. You have to, you know, you have to try to go underground with it to a certain extent. I think that's all changing now. A lot of stations are starting to give it a lot of airplay. The Top 40 hasn't really, you know, which they did jump on the Tone Loc thing. I mean, everywhere I go, I hear that. But outside of that, you know, before, you know, in between Run DMC and Tone Loc, there was a gap where the Top 40 stations, they really didn't feel that any of the rap that was out was safe enough for them to play. So
it's the stuff you sing about, that you rap about in your songs, the life that you've lived?
Yeah, too. I try, you know, when rap started back in 79, 80, 81, it was all just a bunch of lies. Everybody, it was like more fantasies. You know, I got a big limo and I got this and I got that and I got this and I got that. And that kind of died pretty quick, and it got real boring to a lot of fans. And I think now rap is, they can tell when you're real. They can read it. I mean, the fans can feel it because they live it. And so you have to be real. You have to be 100% real with it.
The piece you do, Hip Hop Soldier, you talk about guns, and some people have criticized the thing as being about violence. It's you said they've misunderstood it.
They've misunderstood the song. The song, I do talk about guns, but I'm anti-gun control. I don't believe in gun control. And if they can discuss it on Crossfire, I can put it on a record. I mean, I never at any point in the song said, let's go out and kill people. The whole song is about defending your home. And in ghettos all across the USA, not just in the CD in Seattle, which is where I grew up, there's a big problem. If your house is getting robbed and you call the police, they may get there an hour later. And if there's no way to defend yourselves, then the criminals just win. And, you know, it's something I feel pretty strongly about. We've been robbed a few times, and since we've had guns in the house, we haven't been robbed. I mean, we make it known. I don't have a gun in my house and try to hide it, because then you're going to end up having to shoot somebody because somebody may take a chance. Let them all know, hey, if you come in, you're taking a chance. And it works, you know. I have a lot of people. I'm not a Republican. I'm not conservative, but that's the way I feel about that. And
what kind of music did you grow up listening to? How'd you get to this?
Well, because there wasn't rap, there was nothing for really, you know, the inner city kids to listen to, nothing they could relate to. You know, rock and roll wasn't really the sound that a lot of the black youth liked, even though they were talking about things we could all relate to. R&B was so wishy-washy, you know. R&B, oh, I met this girl in Paris and we had a beautiful romance. I mean, okay, what do I know about Paris? You know, that was kind of corny. So what I listened to back then was like funk, the old funk, Parliament, Brides of Funkenstein, Bootsy Collins. You know, that was the only thing that I had that I could relate to, because it seemed so down, you know. And
well, a lot of the first rap stuff was happening in New York City, and it's a kind of music that doesn't get a lot of radio airplay. How did you find out about it here in Seattle?
Well, the same way everybody found out about me, really. It was mostly underground stuff. A little bit of it filtered in, and maybe a little mom and pop record shops. And Platters Records was one of the, oddly enough, it wasn't a record, it wasn't a store right in the central area or anything. It was Platters out here in the U District. And they were selling a lot of rap back when rap was unpopular amongst most people. And it just took off.
You've had a lot of success right here in Seattle. You've got a gold record out. Are you going to be able to stay in Seattle and do your music? A lot of musicians think about moving to Los Angeles or New York or other centers of music.
All my equipment, my whole studio is right in my house. I have the 2-inch and everything is right downstairs in my house. So wherever I go, as long as they have a 120-volt AC outlet on the wall, I can do my music. So I'm going to stay right here in Seattle. One thing, like you see your Hart and Quincy Jones, all those guys, they left eventually. Even though Hart still comes back, you know, you look on the back of their record, you'll see so-and-so was recorded in Los Angeles. You won't see that on mine. Everything's done right here. I think the one thing that's happened since I have had a tad bit of success is that a lot of fans tend to immediately, it's just a mindset. He's gotten big-headed. He's too good for us now. And that's because of the Hart and the Quincy Jones. They all got up and left, and they are kind of feeling that I'm going to do that, and I'm determined not to. So
Let's hear another taste of Sir Mix-a-Lot showing his Seattle roots.
My posse's on Broadway. My posse's on Broadway.
Me and Kid Sensation at home, away from home, in the black Benz limo with a cellular phone. I'm calling up the posse, it's time to get to rippin'. I freaking each sunroof to keep you suckers trippin'. Everybody's looking, if you're jealous, turn around. The AMG kit keeps us closer to the ground. We're getting good grip from the 50 series tires. The Alpine's bumping, but I need the volume higher, cause the 808 kick drum makes the girlies get dumb. We're rolling Rainier, and the jealous wanna get some. Every time we do this, sucker MCs wanna battle. I'm the man they love to hate, the J.R. Ewing of Seattle. Picked up the posse on 23rd and Jackson, heading for the strip. Yes, we're looking for some action. The limo's kinda crowded, the whole car was leaning back. Maharaji's watching TV with two girlies on his lap. On Martin Luther King, the set looks kinda dead. We need a new street, so posse move ahead.
Posse on Broadway from Sir Mix-a-Lot, our guest on Seattle Afternoon. Do you feel at all a responsibility in the stuff that you put in your songs, because they are listened to by a lot of young people? They're impressionable. Do you feel as though you have to put across a certain message and not other messages?
Yeah, I do. A lot of rappers disagree with that, but I do. I have a conscience. I mean, it's my living. This is how I get paid, but at the same time, I have to have a... You know, I mean, these are kids that are 15, 16, and to them, you know, the only people they look up to is maybe rappers and basketball players or whatever, you know, they've seen come right out of their neighborhood. So I think I have a responsibility to them to try to be at least somewhat of a positive role model. I try to stay away from glorifying violence and glorifying gangs, but at the same time, I like to show them that you cannot be in a gang and still be cool. So in a lot of my songs, I don't talk about doing crime. I talk about squashing it. But I talk about it in a what some people consider a violent way. But sometimes you have to shake a lot of the kids up with something rough to get them to listen. And a lot of my stuff, all of my stuff, is anti-drug. Even Posse on Broadway, there's a little subtle, you know, subtle overtones in that song. But you definitely feel a responsibility. You have to. Because a lot of rappers aren't.
You've performed around the country, but you say you have a hard time sometimes finding a place to perform here in Seattle.
Yeah. Well, we performed in a Paramount in Seattle. I don't know if you remember. It was about a year ago. And there was a big thing that went down afterwards. A bunch of kids went down the street and threw some bricks through the windows. And they blame that on us. You know, I mean, I don't remember being on stage that night saying, hey, now after the concert, all you kids go grab some bricks and let's tear Jay Jacobs down. It's something that happened. They blamed it on the construction workers, said, well, they shouldn't have left the bricks out there. I think that's a cop-out, too. The kids did something wrong, bottom line. But with every barrel of apples, you're bound to find one or two bad ones. So.